Now, before Tuesday, not so far ago, the biggest concern facing those world leaders at the G20 meeting was, well, how to deal with the interesting presence of US President Donald Trump. But Tuesday, well, it put everything into a rather different context. That was the day of the intercontinental ballistic missile test by North Korea. And that's changed the international game. The US, it's pushing for action through the UN Security Council. It's not ruling out a military response. And there are growing calls for China to do something. A heavy move, according to the president. But precisely what China should do remains unclear. How will this play out? Dr. Ramesh Thakur is a former UN Assistant Secretary General, Director of the ANU Centre for Nuclear Non-Proliferation and Disarmament. Doctor, welcome back.
Thank you.
Extraordinary situation with North Korea, the missile launch timed, interestingly, I think you would have to say, ahead of this G20 conference. What is North Korea trying to achieve?
I think it was timed to coincide with July 4th, if I remember rightly.
Well, a bit of both, probably.
He said it was a gift to the Americans for July 4th. What is it trying to achieve? It's trying to increase dramatically the speed and scope of its nuclear and missile programs as a means of preventing the United States from engaging in forcible regime change in North Korea.
How is this now beginning to turn? We've had President Trump talking about sanctions against Chinese firms that are dealing with North Korea. We have the US fleet on the march. We have, as Kevin Rudd points out on Facebook overnight, US arms sales to Taiwan. Is the US pivoting here to turn this crisis against China?
Well, they can try. I'm not sure they have the means to succeed. The world economic order is certainly transitioning to China being an equal, if not a more comprehensive national power than the United States. Most Australians probably don't realize, for example, that twice as many countries now have China as a number one trading partner as the United States. So, you know, our own Deputy Prime Minister, Barnaby Joyce, raising the specter of Australia putting sanctions on China. That's like saying North Korea will sanction the United States. Who is sanctioning whom? So I don't think that's going to work. When they started asking China to do more, China actually responded, let's not forget. They came up with two proposals, suspension for suspension. In other words, we will ask North Korea to suspend their nuclear and missile provocations if in turn you suspend the heavy military joint exercises with South Koreans, which are perceived as aggressive by the North, and secondly, begin diplomatic talks on converting the armistice from the 1950s into a comprehensive peace settlement, remembering that to the North Koreans, denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula means lifting the nuclear umbrella from South Korea. Now, we ask China to take leadership, they come up with an initiative, and then we say, no, thank you. I think that, you know, it's many years since anyone was in a position to tell China, instruct it, order it what to do, and say, we will define for you what your national interests are. So I think we've mishandled that situation, just as the Bush administration, I think, reversed Clinton's messy and ugly but working agreement with North Korea. And let's not forget, the first test was conducted by North Korea under George W. Bush administration. So there are no good options. The options, if you like, range from bad to worse to worst. Worst is an actual nuclear war.
Yeah.
Worse is a military strike. Bad is accepting the stalemate.
And I guess, I mean, there are interesting dynamics here. We talk about potentially America turning this as something of an attack against China. But the fact that you mentioned that the Xi Jinping came up with a proposal, but doing that hand in hand with Vladimir Putin, that we have here China and Russia also, you know, putting their cards on the table, trying to assert, a sense of control over this conversation. I mean, the power play in this at a time when the US is perhaps inward and perhaps, you know, something of a disadvantage in terms of this international conversation are really interesting.
Hello?
I'm here.
Are you still here?
Oh, I am indeed. We're all here.
There's something happening in the background noise. Anyway, I think there's several things here. One is the Trump administration seems to be picking a fight simultaneously with a number of different countries instead of engaging in some sort of reciprocity. Second, if you go back to the global Pew Research poll published last week, there's a massive disenchantment with the Trump administration, where the president is viewed as ignorant, intolerant, and even dangerous, and certainly unqualified to be president. In that context, I think it's going to be very difficult for him to rally major international support with any degree of enthusiasm. Now, Russia and China, for their own interests, do express concern, are very concerned about the erratic and unpredictable behavior by the North. But the bottom line for China is it's not going to accept a collapse of the North Korean regime, and it's not going to accept American and South Korean troops right on its border. Mm. That's what started Chinese counterintervention in the Korean War in the 1950s, after all. So I think we have to work with the Chinese, but not by just ordering them very insultingly to do what we want them to do, but by talking to them and trying to find out what is achievable, what is doable, and perhaps going back to the policy of strategic patience and containment. I think the real concern now has to be, how do we stop North Korea from using nuclear weapons? I think the horse has well and truly bolted as far as nuclear weapons capability and nuclear weapons is concerned.
That's a rather sobering note on which to end. Doctor, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
Dr. Ramesh Thakur, the former UN Assistant Secretary General, he's director of the ANU's Center for Nuclear Non-Proliferation and Disarmament. And as we head to G20, let's hope there's some serious and productive conversation on the side and in the centre of that meeting of the world's great states. It's 6:30 on RN Drive.